We'll get to these games with Brent Baird of College Sports Notebook, 1010 XL Radio in Jacksonville, as well Gator Bait Magazine and more. You can check them out just on First Coast News as well, doing an awesome job. And Brent, I saw you spoke at a couple of the Gator clubs. I'm sure that was an awesome time. But, you know, Florida left that game. They didn't get the win, but I think a lot of fans felt that they really put up a valiant effort against the team that they were over a two-point underdog at home.
They really made a statement in a lot of ways by how they played. And there was a time in that game being in the press box and sensing this around the not only the fans, but even the media, Chad. You had a situation that when that thing was 21-3, look, Bama had gotten three more first downs, much less another touchdown to make it 28-3. I think it would empty the stadium just about. But instead, leaving the door open the way that they did with 3-3 and outs, Florida gets back into the game based on what they were able to do by running the ball, which is amazing. I tell you one thing that really does not need to ever happen, and I don't know if you could tell it, Chad, from watching the game, but they were loud and vociferous, if we can use that word, and booing Emory Jones, which there is, look, I know if you're a fan, you get upset, but in particular with college end of it, you don't need to boo your own player. That is absolutely ridiculous. But Jones got off the mat, played well in a lot of ways, and this thing came right down to the end with Bama able to hang on. I tell you what, Chad, if there were 40 gets the ball back with 10 seconds left, if that had been a minute left instead of 10 seconds, that outcome could have been different.
Yeah, okay, so you were up in the press box, and I know it's a huge press box up there in Ben Hill. I've been up there a couple times. Beautiful facility. They added a lot of money to make it a beautiful facility up there. But when it comes down to it, Brent, when you look at the clock operator, you know, this is one of the state-of-the-art stadiums. Yeah. When it comes down. Yeah. That to me was unacceptable at the end.
Just
to let you know, I was hosting a Bama watch party down there, where I told everybody when it was 21-3, you might as well just take all your home mortgage and all that and put it on Bama right now. And they all were cheering and Roll Tide in it. And then I'm this spiky-haired guy that everybody can pick out of the crowd. You know I don't look like the guy from Alabama. So they all of a sudden, now it's like a two-point game and all these eyes are on me, even though everybody felt that way at the time. I'm now the guy that announced it to the world with the ESPN radio, and now I'm like, uh-oh. So I'm like sneaking out. I told Tom I'm going to – if you have a back exit where I can like go underground or something, but it was they pulled it off. But I feel like we're in a situation though, Brent, that's sort of a stalemate, and it's really tough now, because going forward, he did enough to me, Emory Jones, to be like, to show Dan Mullen, like, you know what, he just went toe to toe with Bama at the end. But then there's the other part to say, every time Anthony Richardson touches the ball when healthy, he's gotten almost 40 yards per play, and it's like, why would you not go with the guy that just looks like he's a freak of nature and what he can do? At the same time, you could say Emory Jones gave the number one team in the nation the best run for their money. And it's like, so I don't know. It's actually become tougher long term, even though Florida's got to feel comfortable either way, that they showed they can win at the line of scrimmage, which we have not seen against a team that's supposed to be way more dominant up front. Alabama and Florida looked about equal in the trenches. I have not seen that since the Clemson national title game.
No, and it was quite surprising. But again, reality is Alabama, they with the players they lost last year, I think people are beginning to look at that a little bit, that some of these kids just have not been able to make that progress yet that they need to. Now, by November, I think that very well could happen. But the problem with Bama right now is, I mean, you've got Southern Miss this week, and then after that, the problem is you've got Ole Miss, A&M, at home and on the road, and then you've got a under-the-radar game at Mississippi State. And then you've got Tennessee, and then you've got a break for LSU. So that line of scrimmage, which should have played better but did not, they probably need to change Chris Owens out of that right tackle spot. They need to play more players. That 84% humidity was incredible, frankly, Chad. And they've got to get enough depth where those players aren't on fumes by the time they get to the fourth quarter.
Yeah, that was one of those things, Brent, that I was – it was crazy how hot it seemed, and I know that was mentioned early on, but is this – one thing is it seems like a lot of people are making this about more – it seems like Alabama just had a bad game, but is it more Alabama may not be as good as we think they are? Is it more Florida actually showed that they – you know, have some potential with this team, even with the quarterback situation that they currently have?
Well, I think it's probably some of both. Bama's got incredible talent. Probably got the better roster still of anybody in the nation. But the reality is a lot of these kids have not been in that situation where they were against Florida. And I'll say this, Chad could see coming, at least for a few minutes, if they get up 28-35 to 3, that game's over.
Yeah,
I can assure you that. And it frankly may have helped Alabama if they, by going through that, they were able to probably find out a lot more about who they are under that adversity than they ever would have in a situation to where if they had blown the Gators out, and they've got an important game against Southern Miss, in that those kids need to continue to progress, particularly before they play Ole Miss.
That was one of those things, too, that I was thinking of before the season, just looking at their schedule. I think we might even have touched on it, too, that when you observe the schedule, that the game against, you know, Florida was circled, Texas A&M was circled, and that game against Ole Miss is one of those games that you might think of as a trap game, just they're thinking about Texas A&M a week ahead, and now Ole Miss have shown to be this team that look very formidable. They're 13th in the country, and you know Alabama are going to have to be ready on defense, which is something that I think Nick Saban maybe, I don't know, if you're, would you, how concerned would you be, I guess, with the way the defense performed, particularly in the trenches, getting outplayed by Florida, really, that entire second half?
Well, I don't think there's any doubt about it that you've got to be somewhat concerned about it. I think that's a I think it's a real issue right now, to where they had some bust, defensively in that situation too. So frankly, they really needed to get some of these guys to sub for them. You had some guys in the secondary that they thought would play better, but they just frankly did not. I tell you what, Will Anderson was in a situation where they really didn't think Will Anderson would play that much. He played as much or more as anybody on defense. So, guys, frankly, it was just a total team struggle as far as the defense is concerned. The thing I want to point out is anybody, it is so rare that Florida had over 250 yards rushing. Alabama's got less than 100. I mean, look, guys, that used to be the formula, where if you could run and stop the run, you would win every game. The things have changed, have they not?
They have. And you know, it's funny how sometimes things work out. It might be a long process, or you know, you end up having your best friend, and you always thought you were best friends in high school. And then 30 years later, you might end up dating them one day, and they become – you always knew that you liked – it's weird how the world works. Well, during the offseason, yeah. Brent, you know, and you covered Georgia and Florida and Jacksonville, but during the offseason, we talked so much about how maybe this is the year for Georgia because JT Daniel is the more senior-led guy coming back when Clemson, Alabama – and Ohio State had new quarterbacks. Now, Clemson and Ohio State lose early, so we just dismissed them. And Clemson just doesn't look like a world beater anymore. They barely beat Georgia Tech at home. But all of a sudden Georgia doesn't score, and we're like, well, if you're not going to score, you can't beat Alabama. Bama crushes Miami, and we've all deemed them the gods. And guess what? Miami's not that great. They got beat by Michigan State pretty badly, but it was a little back and forth. But at the same time, now it's sort of reverting back to, okay, maybe this is Georgia's year, the way they're playing, the way they're dominating the line of scrimmage. Do you feel, if you're a Georgia fan, first off, you never feel comfortable as a Georgia fan because there's always been a reason for them to let you down. But at the same time, would it be okay to say that Georgia should feel like they're the best team in the nation right now?
What it appears at this point is that their defense has been maybe the best defense in the nation since the Clemson game. And now that JT Daniels is getting healthy, and now that they're finding more weapons, I think people are more likely to give that to them. But again, guys, you know, we've seen this a lot, have we not? I mean, what we see, and it's also like the Heisman Trophy, what we see in September always doesn't end up being the case in November.
Yeah, real quick, Brent, looking ahead to this week, one of the games that stands out the most is Arkansas and Texas A&M. I don't think too many people thought that Arkansas would necessarily be 16th in the country at this point, but are they playing with house money in a way where Texas A&M have got all this pressure on them to be what the expectation is of competing against Alabama, where Arkansas, the toughest schedule in the country, is playing with that underdog mentality where, you know, they're able to go out and play free, if you will?
Well, and not only that, I just think there's some that they're a lot better. I mean, KJ Jefferson, the quarterback, he missed 10 passes, but he was 13 to 23 for 366. My stars, listen, at quarterback, Arkansas doesn't have 366 passing in three games. Over the last few years, Traylon Smith, I think, is also very good. Now, A&M has won 9 straight in the rivalry. It dates back to 1903, but they have really taken the upper hand right now. But look, this is a humongous game. I mean, it really is. But I would agree with your point about, is a pressure on A&M. Absolutely it is. I mean, people are looking at A&M as possibly being in the SEC championship this year. I don't necessarily believe that's going to happen, but so they're kind of expected to win this game. But listen, this thing's been strange over the last few years. Arkansas probably should have won this game the last 3 or 4 years in a row. They had strange things that happened at the end of the games, but at the same time, just an incredible opportunity you have for them, and that, I'm with you. This is very likely the best game in the conference.
And so they play A&M, who are 7th. Next week, they're on the road at Georgia. The following week, they're at Mississippi. Then they play Auburn at home. So, I mean, this is a stretch of games where it could be a huge win for Arkansas to keep that momentum going into the toughest stretch of their season.
If they split that, don't you think they'd sign a contract in blood for that right now?
Yeah, they would.
Over the last year. But I'll say this. Listen, that's really difficult, and more needs to be said about that. My question is, do they have the depth in order to continue to play the way they are, and will the Jefferson kid at quarterback, will he continue to improve, or is that going to be a situation where they kind of realize who they are? But look, right now, I would say they've made tremendous progress under Sam Pittman. This is a more confident, more powerful football team at this juncture with Sam Pittman than I think anybody dreamed it would be.
Brent, real quickly, we only got about a minute here, but Ole Miss, number 17 in the nation, They dominate Tulane, and people can go, well, it's just Tulane. Well, you say that. They almost beat Oklahoma without a home pretty much by 4 or 5 points, and they come out and they get smoked by 40 points by Ole Miss. Ole Miss's offense can play with anyone in the country, but Matt Corral puts up 7 touchdowns and just looked good doing it. This is a team that put up over 700 yards of offense. Is Ole Miss a legit contender this year? I mean, now that I think, I mean, based on what we saw with Alabama getting exposed, I think, you know, when I say exposed, they're actually beatable in a way. They're, to me, they're still the team to beat, but Ole Miss looks like the part. I mean, and they score so much that they don't have to be perfect on defense.
The amazing thing is Ole Miss has gained 600 plus yards 6 times in 13 games under Lane Kiffin.
Wow.
Before they did anything like that, it was like in 1,209 games. So it's just an amazing stat. They are a little bit better defensively, but no, they are they're legit, and I would agree that the defense will dictate where they go. And I tell you guys, on a closing note here, I am glad to see the Gators playing better. Georgia is very good, but man, oh man, the work that's going to be done in Tallahassee and in Coral Gables with FSU in Miami, that's not going to get straightened out.
No, it's not.
In the next few months, is it?
No, wow, that's what's happening there is unbelievable. But we don't have enough time for that. We're going to do a show on Comedy Central later on that one. But hey, Brent.
Yeah, unfortunately, yes.
As always, great stuff. We look forward to talking to you. And man, I'm glad that you got to enjoy the game. What a great atmosphere. So hope you have a great rest of your Monday.
Thank you, guys. Take care.